Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus, and tonight on Hercules and the Space Gods, we have E.T. Universal Zone, E.T. Universal Zone by Mark and Phyllis Brinkerhoff. Before we proceed with the show, here is their introductory song. And welcome back to E.T. Universal Zone. And now we proceed with our program. Greetings and welcome, Mark and Phyllis. How are you?
Hi. Hi, Hercules. Sorry for our delay.
That's okay.
We're in a time zone. We're in another time zone.
I've been in more than one of those lately myself. So what is new and exciting?
Actually, we've been working on different things. We're working on our books and trying to get some new information so to help people on planet Earth. We've been working on different levels of information on the different planes that are past the Earth and on into space and beyond. So we're trying to put that together, too.
Well, we're doing a workshop tomorrow, so we sort of have been buried under a lot
of... Oh, man. What type of workshop?
Well, we're calling it end time prep.
Okay.
End time soul prep. No. But.
End time soul prep.
And we get into all the things happening with the sun and other stuff that we're going to do. But this was a small little private group that this friend of ours in Long Island put together in her apartment. So she's only got a few people. Yeah, it should be really fun.
But, you know, what generally happens when you're working on a show, any show that you do or anyway that we do, it all ends up being interesting information and visuals that you'll be putting in books that are coming up. So
good.
I can already see that some of these charts and things that we've constructed. And this is, of course, so everybody that knows Mark knows Mark. This is coming in from his realm that he accesses in his lucid remote viewing. So a lot of these things really aren't known to general people if they haven't traveled to those realms. So they're probably haven't heard some of this before. And we're not actually ready to start talking about it publicly, but it's interesting, fascinating. I actually, learned things last night that I never knew before, because I accessed what we were working on. Mark had drawn a picture that was so compelling, kind of describing what the levels look like in space on, you know, off of planets and things of this nature. And then I just started asking questions, which has been the theme of my life with Mark. When I come up against a spiritual quandary or something I don't understand, then we start to go deep into explanations, and it becomes quite compelling. So that actually happened last night, so people will be getting the benefit of that tomorrow.
Yeah. But, like, we're trying to, a lot of people out there are still, I don't blame them, They're a little nervous about getting together in a small group or closed group, or if it's not of their own buddies and friends. So they're a little concerned, but really it's not so bad. So we just got about maybe 10 people, that's including Phyllis and I and our host. So it's not very many. But it should be a lot of fun. So it'll be the first after a while. Remember when we all went to see Tim Hercules? That was a group.
Yeah.
That was like the first time we're getting in a group.
Right.
At a funeral parlor, and he was there, and he's having a good time on the ships. Believe me, have you seen him? Tim, he's having fun. He said last thing he told me a couple of weeks back. I was telling Phyllis. He says, I've been meeting a lot of people on the ships, different ships, Ashtar, and then there's Alliance. They're introducing him to some of these Alliance ships on the, fourth plane frequency, which is a heaven realm, let's call it the heaven realms. And the ships can come in, but it's where you go. You have to ask to be directed to places like that. It's not the regular people there do not know about these places to go check out. Higher realms, let's say, or space travel, unless they're into it or feel towards it. So he had to ask certain people. So he has his connections now and his contacts. And he said, Phyllis, I was telling Phyllis one day, Tim's laughing and he says, hey, I've met some really nice space women up here. ET women and off-planet women, meaning also Earth people who are working in alliances. So they're not on physical bodies anymore.
Right.
And they're on realms. So they're heaven realms. So now they're there in those other areas, like Space Force here. Let's say Space Force. So you got Earth women as well.
Actually happened when we were going upstate, and we were just riding in the car, and all of a sudden Tim
saw. Oh, right. Yeah, we were driving to Connecticut 2 weeks ago.
And it was funny. And one of the things that he said, I think you should talk about that one. He said he had been speaking to a lot of the people that are in charge or whatever up there, and he says he's not really supposed to interfere in what's going on down here.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
And that was such an interesting thing for him to say. He's not interfering with us because, he's not generally telling Mark anything that Mark doesn't already know.
Well, they were playing together, just talking.
But in terms of, like, channeling or something like that, if people are trying to channel with people that are on the other side, I don't think that that's actually – it's not actually looked at as a great idea, right?
Depends on those guys on that side. Yeah, he, like in other words, he couldn't tell us. Oh, by the way, next week's lottery month was going to be. They're not allowed to do that. So it's kind of funny the way he was saying it. So he could talk with us like we're talking now, just talk about things and what they're up to, but not to. Actually, he told me that day too that there's always your angels are there and other angels, other beings. He calls them the angel people. He says they're there. And so if we're connecting in any way to this earth plane realm where we are, if he's doing that or any other people they know, there's always somebody monitoring with them to not allow certain things to be brought down yet for that soul's time. So that's the only thing about the channeling stuff. You know, people try to get information, tell them things, but not all the information is factual, and there's playful people. We know those beings are playful. So those beings are not harassed by angels because these are lower guys, and they try to come in a group around a person channeling. So they kind of push out the good people trying to help, and they might be shouting in the background, and the channel can't hear them. It's funny. It's weird how it works. So Tim said to me, I met some nice space women and all, you know, ET-type women. He's going, you know, like hint, hint, wink, wink, you know, that kind of thing. He's like, you know, Venusians and other people. So then he says, also space, you know, people from Earth who are working in space. So he says, I actually remember. What?
Don't tell everything.
I can't tell everything?
No.
No.
The bottom line
is he hugged a few of them.
Let's remember that, you know, on you.
They think he's funny.
Once you're up there, you're now getting into transform into your glorified body. Maybe there's a lot of people that don't know how to do that when they go over it because maybe they haven't had any, education in that way, that they have that capacity. So maybe a lot of people just become younger versions of themselves.
Yeah.
But the people that actually know, they can transform.
Yeah, they can tune into their kind of over space part, let's call it, the being that's not attached to the planet systems, the true self. And when they connect to that being, that true self, male or female, whatever they project as, it doesn't matter, they will see a different connection. They might more glorified looking in their body form. That's all. It means a perfected
describe
form.
What Tim looks like now.
Yeah, Tim has gold hair. And it's very wavy. And he keeps it to his shoulders. Just to the shoulders. Not long and falling down farther, but it just to like below the nape of the neck, I think is what I'm saying. And he still resembles Tim. But he's been perfected. He's taken on his new form. So he's put in the look he had was Tim. Now, of course, Tim was always was a little chubby when I used to know him. So now he's got his more form in as a body form.
Mm-hmm.
And he's looking more fit, let's say.
Like
so
a muscular version.
Everybody knows what that means. Yeah. He just looks more fit, like he worked out or something. So he's perfected his form by being around with the people who he's with. You know, they help guide them to how to focus and what you're looking for, what your true self you're feeling like. And so he's focusing as male. So he's going to perfect that form to be more, you know, fit, like Hercules, right? Like Hercules. Yeah. So the crews and those guys, so they look that way, and it's in their thought. Yet you know you can actually go on those sides and work out in a gym if you feel like it, if that's fun for you.
Yeah,
you won't be out of breath. You won't be sweating to death or any of that. But you could do these things for fun, the way people like to. But in your mind, in your thought, is the perfection of the infinite. So you see your true perfection comes through when you connect, when you're connected. So you'll reflect exactly that reflection of your glorified form. So all he right now is keeping a slight look of how Tim looks with a little bit of perfected look, which is the space look which our souls have. These perfected glorified looks usually have larger eyes than human looking eyes. Mm-hmm. So he has larger eyes now, and he seems to have projected the cheekbone effect, so he's enhanced himself a little bit like that. And one thing he told us that night or that day on the way driving to Connecticut was the people that he's meeting find him funny. He says, "I'm just telling you. I tell you, you just I'm just kind of being me, but they find his antic, the way he speaks or something, to be kind of fun and funny, so they like the comedy that he has.
He's an upper.
And he brings the comedy of Earth up there.
Okay.
Like one-liners or something, he's doing that. So anyway, that's what he said. And
but he also said something interesting. He said, I can't tell you certain things, and by that I felt that he meant, like, he can't make predictions or things of that nature because it's not in alignment I don't know, it's just not in alignment with what people are supposed to be able to do over there.
Yeah, they're not, it's kind of like they're not supposed to be doing that. That's not something they do.
So we kept the conversation in a fun venue as opposed to trying to get serious, like, oh,
yeah,
let's see what we can find out, you know, what's the Ashtar command planning or something like that. You know, that wasn't where we went.
Well, at least he's met Ashtar a few times, and now he's working with the guys that all, like, oh, he was studying the way the ships work, which was always fascinating to him, he said. So he was getting training on smaller scout ships, just to be in them, learn about them, and how to focus to them, and you can control them with your telepathy, because these ships are semi-conscious, some of them. They're like a plant. The ones I've worked with, and you connect to them just like you're going to rent a car tomorrow. So
okay.
The ship is there. But, you know, they have giant hangars. And I was training this on Venus thousands and thousands of Earth years ago. So you connect to them. So you walk up to the ship, the little scouts, they can be of 30-foot diameter or whatever, and you connect to it with your energy field. First you walk towards it and you telepathically talk towards it and say, hi, and it knows your frequency. You come up to it, it gets your frequency, which is your signature. Everybody's soul has a signature frequency, just like fingerprints. So it gets your signature, and you get a sound that says connect. You're recognized, in other words. And then you have to give certain words where it's activates with you. I'm not supposed to say some of the words
don't do it.
I can't say it. But when you go to these, it's like you're unlocking the door, and the doors will open, and you get in, and it's with your friends, who's ever going with you. And we do this on a ship a lot. We take a ship. We take a travel and we just go flying somewhere to another density or place on a planet, and we just have a party. It's like going out, but you're renting a giant ship, you know, and just having party time. But the rent is not rented. I mean, it's free.
Right.
It's free. It's not a rental.
It's predicated on desire.
Yeah. It's I'm here for you, and, you know, here's a ship.
People, that's actually an interesting concept to explain about being on the other side.
Yeah. There's, like, no credits or points, but sometimes they told me there's ways that they do things on different dimensional spaces that deal with something similar to
barter?
A point effect of, like, these are things we do and we can trade with this, or we will have that. It's just things on different levels, but the main high realms is all, everything is there. How do you just connect to it? Just a little training and how it works, and you go with a couple of people who've done it before, so you learn how to sit in that chair. There's a chair usually in the ships that fits the being who's going to sit in it. I mean, if we're a dog guy, it's going to fit us. So anyway, it'll come on, it'll fit for us. So it's you sit in it, and you learn how, you just put your hands on the consoles on the arm, and just now you're tuned in. It's like you are with the ship. The ship is with your consciousness and what you're thinking. So then it becomes your friends who may be navigators, and one of them says, oh, we're going to go to this system, to that, blah, 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 and they'll put their hand over a certain light. They'll concentrate on the form of the place we're heading to, or the coordinate, let's say, or quadrant and stuff like that. And with that, all knowing, the friends, you all know we're going to destination, the star system, blah, blah, blah. And we all see it, we all think it, and the person in charge is like, it's almost like Captain Kirk. Oh, the captain's going, engage. You know, it's like that. It's really like that. And we go through dimensional portals, which is frequencies. We just jump through in certain places in space. Sometimes it's certain star systems or jump points where the stars are to get to another galaxy. So I have some stars I know we do that with in our galaxy. and we can go to the stars. You can actually go into the stars with your ships and on those levels. And there's places there that angels hang out in stars a lot. And there's always a solar angel in charge of each star. Every star has a solar angel. Every planet has a planetary angel.
About that a great deal, too, the solar and the lunar forces and how you can enter the sun and the moon and experience different realities. Those writings exist from antiquity.
Yep.
So I'm glad that we're still sharing information about those. And the ships that you described, we've talked about this before, but they're pretty much constructs where you could travel with people. Individually, you could just think yourself anywhere in the universe if you know where you want to wind up, and it's just a thought away. But
yes.
The ships are useful if you're getting together with a bunch of people.
Yes, like what you're talking about would be. Oh, I'm sorry, Hercules. What? Okay, what you're talking about, what we all can do, anybody can do it, is the mind travel. We go out to the solar system, we go past the next galaxy with our mind. That's like lucid remote viewing, too, in a way, too, right?
Yeah.
It's definitely a remote viewing feeling. And you feel like you're there because you are in the presence in that frequency of your, let's see, I call it, I don't want to say astral form, because we're more than that. So it's like projection of our consciousness, soul, as we go through our mind, we get there. But what we're doing on those other realms, as higher selves and oversouls and as higher selves aspects as well. Like now Tim has connected to his higher self. So he's now not just Tim from Earth. He's Tim who was on Earth as Tim, as an aspect who's now connected to his higher self, who he now knows more information about space. So that once you've gotten into the space and connected with the higher self, you blend in with your higher self. And that's why the perfected look is coming through to a space effect that Tim looks more elongated eyes, let's say, or higher cheekbone. He's taken on that form.
Okay, before you go
but if he comes
further,
to Earth, he'll look like Tim for the people who recognize him.
I want to ask a question for the students out there who actually may or may not know what you just talked about. When connecting with a higher self when you get into a heaven realm isn't automatic.
No, you have to recognize
them.
Yes,
express that.
Yes, I'm sorry. When you're out of body in another dimensional space, even around the planet Earth or above Earth, let's say, and you have a man or a woman, could be either or, kind of there with you, like your best friend or buddy, kind of being there, and you're kind of, why are they familiar? But then you think, well, maybe they're just the guide to be with me, I'm here. And they're walking with you, talking with you, telepathic and verbally, they talk. And we're just feeling really good about this person, like really close, like family. And so what I'm asking people to do is test it, because usually that might be your aspect, that might be your higher part. They're trying to connect to you, just let you know we're here, but we can't say anything to you. You have to recognize us first. Then we connect. So that's the trick, and that's how they say to do it.
Let's say we transitioned right now, a person transitioned today, and they got to the other side. Couldn't they just say, where's my higher self?
If they know to.
Yeah, but you see, that's an important point.
Yeah.
That we can't make the assumption that everybody even has that in their head as an idea.
Yeah. No, it's not normal. It's not the average thing people think.
It's a fascinating thing to contemplate.
Yes, and a lot of times that person that meets that person who passed on, let's say tonight, tomorrow, whatever, and the person meets them, they think it's their guide, or they might think it's a master teacher or some guide talking to me right now, giving me help, or an angel meets them too. But the thing is the person, and if they feel a personal feeling and recognition in some way, like a friend vibe, And that if it is their aspect, their higher self, let's say, they're not going to be able to say, hi, it's me, I'm you. They can't say that. They have to wait for the it's like pearls before time. We can't spread the pearls before their time. So they wait for us to make an acknowledgement in some way. And that's when it happened to me as a child. I was 10 years old, and I was walking on the high ship.
Well,
and I said, you seem like you're a part of me. You're like my best friend or part of me. And as soon as I said that, I got blended in right away. So for people, like and then I had knowledge of.
But it's the rule of free will.
Yes, it's the free will.
It's the rule
yeah.
of free will. I want people
Thanks,
to understand
Boogie.
This.
Yeah.
That, you know, you can't just assume that you're going to be downloaded all knowledge once you get to the other realm.
No, you go there with
and,
the knowledge you've gained here.
So
yeah.
darn important.
Yeah.
And if we're if the things that we're saying right now, such as, you know, how do I get to my higher self? I can tell you right now that if I happen to transition before Mark does, I'm just going to be standing there yelling, "Where are you?" And I know her name.
You better get here now. And the ship lands, right? But this is what it is. It's really what as much as you know and what you know, the more you learn, the more you try to understand. Anybody listening, the more you try to understand, I know there's a lot of confusion and on this planet with misinformation, all kinds of stuff, but your perfect goal then, when confused, is to ask the angel with you, if there's an angel standing there, usually there are there, but to ask to be taken to the heaven realms where I can meet Creator, things like that. This way you're pulling yourself towards the Creator's energy, not towards the confused energy of we don't know where the playful guys are. And when they play around with the people in waiting zones, they come up and pretend they're other people. There's a story, a guy was died in a hospital, and he was getting off the bed, even though he's a ghost now, a spirit. He gets off the bed, and there's people at the door waving to him, "Come here, come here, come here, come here." So he thought they were real people, physical people. He thought mm-hmm. he was getting up, and then he realized he was not getting off the bed. His body was still on the bed. So then he starts following these people, thinking they're going to take him to the light, let's say. So they're walking down a hall of the hospital, passing through real humans walking by, and they're going, "Come here, come on, come on, follow, come here." And he's following along, and he starts getting a weird vibe. He starts feeling uneasy, like something's fishy, I'm not sure what. The people seem friendly enough, they seem nice, and there's people in a line, and he keeps following them. Then they're getting towards an area where there are doors, like in the hospital doorways. So they're going to walk through this door and go down another corridor. He got a bad vibe. And he said he stopped, and he didn't go. And he just decided he's backing up. He's going to go back towards his bed, towards where he was. And they're getting upset with him that you're not following us. Why are you going? Where are you doing? Why? And the more he backed up and said, "I'm going back. I'm going to go back." They got really angry, and then he saw they were demons. They were trying to lure him away to go with them. So this can happen when we're innocent and not expecting and not knowing, because he didn't really have a belief system. He said, you know, things like that. So he went back to his hospital room, found his way back, and there were people waving him to come back over here. So they were the angel types. So this is the confusing part about when people can get to the other side if they're not aware. So the more we learn and understand, we can be guided easier, and our focus and trust and belief and what we know is truth, let's say, and trusting in the Creator to guide us all the way, and your angels, trusting our guardians as well. So this can happen to people. Did I cover that part about the people in the higher selves, right? So they're kind of like you're showing up as a buddy or a guide.
Uh-huh. And
again, they wait for us to acknowledge it. So,
or we can flip it on them and ask for them to be there. You see, this
yeah,
is what
you can
I'm
ask for your overpart
what I'm
to meet you.
Mark is far too advanced for most people on this planet, because everything that he speaks about is like just comes second nature to him. But I keep trying to tell him that regular humans aren't thinking like this, so they actually have to have an education about it. You know, a lot of people, you know, maybe have heard the word higher self or, you know, oversoul, and many haven't. I mean, I could name you quite a few people I know that would just think I was crazy.
Yeah, higher aspects, whatever you want to call them.
And so, I know that because we've all been in this arena of, you know, higher spiritual knowledge for so many years, we make assumptions that everybody listening knows that. But I don't think that's the case. I think a lot of people have a lot of different ideas about a lot of spiritual matters and don't know some of the basics. But the real basic that helped Tim so deeply was his questioning and asking
yeah.
and asking, you know, how do I get to see the Ashtar Command? You know, and he made it very clear point of saying that if I hadn't asked about it, that nobody would have taken me there.
Right.
And that,
right.
to me, was just perfect because
yeah.
I knew that was true, and I knew it was something that people don't think about. And I remember maybe, you know, 30 years ago when I first started reading metaphysical books, or maybe it was 40 years, longer than many years.
Way before you met me.
When I was reading metaphysical books, a lot of that wasn't really explained. You know, they talked about this and they talked about that, but
and Seth Speaks came out with some oversoul information back in
'73.
But they didn't
really tell you,
yeah.
What does that actually really look like? And the fact of the matter was that Seth was, as Mark found out, that was her own higher self, and she didn't even know it. And here she was channeling her own higher self for what? How many books did she write? And not all of them had right information in them.
Oh, no, then.
But how many books did she write? She didn't even know she was channeling her own higher self. So there you go, with all this higher information, and even she didn't know what she was actually doing. So it's just interesting to me. And what seems to be a small idea or a small point is quite often a really big point, like the one that we were just making about if you don't ask, or if you don't say, gee, you know, can I meet my higher self? You know, just ask it.
I wonder if my higher self
is hanging
around here somewhere.
I can tell you every person in my family would never ask that question if they transitioned. I can tell you right now. It would never even be a question that came out of their mouth.
No, not the average people,
my
family.
And neither your family either.
Yeah, yeah. They wouldn't even know it. It would be like if I mentioned this, they'd be like, okay, Mark, next. Well, let's not go there. Reincarnation. No, not going there. Okay, but this is what happens. So I'm trying to, I know that part of my job, besides I won't say rescue Phyllis, but it was like a coming together home, but and helping others while I'm here to get home, get to the higher home levels, not the reincarnation back and forth.
I actually think we should talk about that a little bit, because there's no way in the world Mark would be here if this wasn't the end times. Sorry, people, but you know, I don't know how many years we've got left.
No one knows except, you
10,
know,
20,
creator.
Maybe, I don't know. I don't think it's 30. But he came here in the end times just to, because I had already advanced far enough in previous lives anyway, but there is a lot of danger on this planet from being influenced by fallen entities,
mm-hmm.
and they come into your head, they tell you to do wrong things, they make all kinds of emotional bad things happen for people, so that resentment builds. There's all kinds of things that are going on because we are being daily influenced, even though we do protect ourselves, but they try to get through because they're that next realm over, and their job is to keep us from transcending or from ascending. Their
right.
job is to keep us from incarnating off this level.
Yeah, they just want people to keep coming back
and there's
with their energies.
Tons of them out there working on
yeah.
that all the time, but most of the people on this planet, I think you agree with us, Hercules, most of the people on this planet don't even understand the influence that they're under or the things that they're working against just to, you know, live a beautiful life and not create unnecessary karma that then pulls
yeah.
us back. But one of the things that we're working on and that we're trying to teach, we're going to try that. We're going to try as hard as we can tomorrow, is some of the ideas that make people keep coming back. You know, what are some of the things that they do wrong that make them come back? And, I mean, you can...
Or things they hold on to that they can let go of but didn't know they had let go or could...
Well,
like family and different
okay,
things.
Okay, but
yeah.
let's also remember that a lot of the people, not the people that we have workshops for, but a lot of the people that they know
yeah.
don't even know that they just think they get one shot or something like that, and they don't even understand the concept of having to come back and do it over again and over again and over again. So there are some very simple rules that a soul can follow, but one of the rules is knowledge. You need to have a clue. You need to realize that you keep making the same mistake over and over again and not, you know, letting go of things, not do, you know, following the golden rule of loving one another and the primary rule of loving Creator, which we know that a lot of religions don't adhere to, but we can tell you that that is a really big one.
Mm.
And you know, a lot of unforgiveness. You know, we realize that if people can't forgive transgressors, and if they're carrying hate in their souls and in their minds for, let's say, politicians that they absolutely loathe or something like that, that's not a good energetic mindset. So you literally have to pray for, and you have to pray for Creator to save the souls of the people that are doing terrible things to other people.
Yeah, like asking for their forgiveness because they don't understand what they're doing, because they're all being manipulated or triggered down here by these lower beings. And so Creator understands that. But all we have to do is ask. So we do that. We do that prayer. The Angel of Peace came to the Fatima children, and it was saying, "O Creator, or O God, I believe, I adore, I hope, and I love you. I ask pardon of you for those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, and do not love you." So we're asking for peace to come to them, for them to be accepted because they don't know what they're doing, something like that. And we're just asking for their forgiveness. We're stepping in for them on the gap. Let's say the gap, they don't believe, they don't have any desire of anything, of the Creator, or they don't know. And so they do stupid things. So we're asking we're standing in their gap, let's say, asking Creator for them. And I've seen and been told, because I've helped souls on the other side when transitions with getting through the cloudy areas of the waiting zones. And sometimes I've seen where different beings, let's say Christ right now, but different beings will try to help the souls. And the angels and even the Creator has mentioned, I'll say Creator, but Sananda, and it says to me to tell the children, because they came over and they thought they had no belief, they had anything. They were bad people too, some of them, not killers and murderers, just they were not nice, you know. And they're thinking, uh-oh, you know. And because of the prayers of many people who are children, we're all the children, we're all brothers and sisters, even though we don't know each other on planet Earth, you know, everywhere, but we're all praying for those fallen kids, you know, the ones who are doing horrible things, as we know, out on planet Earth, and, you know, trafficking, all these things. So we're praying for them as anonymous, but we're praying for them as our family. And because of those prayers, that's why we ask people, please just pray for those who don't understand, you know, ask for their forgiveness for them. Just, we stand in their gap. The Creator, they said, because of the people and the many voices that have prayed for you from either family and friends or people you've never met, this to the soul they're talking to, you have been given grace and to come, and we're coming through now because you can decide to go back or not, or whatever they got to do, whatever work they're doing. But this has been rescue zone, because sometimes their own self, and this is hard to accept for people when they don't understand it, but guys listening and everybody listening, sometimes the haunted person in the house that's walking the haunting in the land, in the house and the land, is kept in that stasis by their own higher part to be a lesson for their maybe committing suicide or for their hate and anger towards other people or whatever they might have done. So a bad haunting where an angry ghost or a poltergeist is trying to get attention, but it starts doing weird things that can hurt people. Those are the ones that are angry still, and we have to pray for them to release that, to that they're not trapped, but they think they are. They think they're in this house, and that's their house only, and you got to get out, and I'm going to throw things at you, you know, that kind of stuff. When they, you know, like when you've seen that, you've had it happen too, probably, where they've done weird things, the energy turns cold, and you feel like, I got to get out here now, you know, because they're mad. But we talk, you know, we talk to them. But this is where they get trapped, and sometimes in suicides or murders, they get trapped because they committed the murder, not the person that got murdered. Usually they're released, but the murderers, they get stuck sometimes. So we pray for them, and we ask for their connection to their over self be recognized. And when I talk to a soul, when I helped a soul that hung herself and killed herself, she was trapped in the house for many years. When I helped her get off to the other side, get past and get through the walls of the house and get out, I had gotten permission. So what I found out, when I was telling her while I was in the house with her, I said, look, your own self, your over-self, has kept you here right now in a sort of self-punishment for you to understand what you've done. You killed yourself, but in killing yourself, you've canceled out a bunch of other souls that were going to try to come in and do things, whether you were going to have children or not. She was 16 years old, and those souls now do something, have to figure out a way to do what they got to do, come into a body or through another part of the members of the family. But it changes things. So she did not know that. She did not know she's her, you know, girl. And she, when I told her that, she didn't get it, but she began to accept that, wow, that kind of makes sense why I can't leave this house. She couldn't even go onto the yard of the house. She could only be in the house since 1940-something when she hung herself. So when I explained it to her and she started to accept it, and she said, wow, okay, if I'm punishing myself, when will I be able to leave? And I said, I'll go find out. So I went and found out that I was being sent by my friends who called me to help this girl's haunting in his house. You want to see this? You know, you want to come here? But it was really being sent to talk with her and then to find out information on the other side, because I go to the other side to sort of find out what's going on, what's up. And I found out from the higher part saying, yeah, I self-punished her because it's myself, right? But she has to learn. I had to learn what I did was not good. But to live in the haunted house, to be the haunting in the house for as long as it is that she on her earth life would have lived. So that's what I found out.
Can I jump in and say something?
It
just occurred to me, and I've heard this story a lot, many times, but what just occurred to me is that by keeping her in that house and not letting her transition, into the heaven realms, she probably paid off a lot of karma.
Yeah, it's like you're sticking there thinking about it.
She paid a lot of karma in that particular realm by having to wait before she could be released.
Now, she was a little Irish girl.
No, I just want to know if I'm getting that correct. Am I hearing that correctly?
Yeah, they have to stay. Yeah,
but not always.
Not always.
But in this particular case, it looked to me like the over part was saying, okay, I'm going to erase your karma, but you're going to have to be stuck for, you know, X amount of years as a ghost.
Well, the over part won't erase the karma. It's the... They can work it out on the other side. That's right. They do.
But it is. It was a punishment.
Yeah, it was self-punishment. So that you get a timeout. But this was a good ghost, a helpful ghost, a friendly ghost, a good kid. She was a good kid. And so when I talked with her about that, even though she was, she was definitely Irish, but I don't know if she had a religious belief. So even if she did or didn't, she was obviously not calling to the right beings on the other side. And I know she didn't know she had guardian angels. So I don't know what her beliefs really were. So even though the angels were there and I talked to them, they said, she can't hear us. She can't even see us. She doesn't believe we're here. So it's what our beliefs are, and that's why I'm trying to help people with. As you know, what you study and learn and what you're trusting in, and that sounds right to me, you know, that kind of thing, and we trust it. That keeps the opening, the talking wave going through to our guardians and other friends on the other side, or family, who are trying to come to us as well as our higher parts, trying to connect. And is that covering some of that stuff?
Well, yeah, you know, but
she did get out.
You just also made me think of another thing that I was saying earlier. Most people are not actually thinking about spiritual ideas or questions, are not thinking that way.
No.
The average person that we, you know, not the ones that are in our field, but the average people aren't thinking any of the things that we're talking about right now.
No.
They're just, so they never even ask the question, you know.
No, because they think they're them. That's all there is here. That kind of thing.
So we would like to propose that would be a good thing for souls to start questioning their reality.
I know Hercules, your higher aspect. You know you've been within your form. Let's say your true self form. You know that, and isn't this just what we? My gosh, imagine if we can get people to really experience that feeling and be there, and be themselves and realize this is the play, that they're all in the play. We're just here doing these acts mm-hmm. and things. But when we become more aware and we learn, and we have to get truthful to ourselves, you know, really, this is a bad action, this is a good action, this is good to help people, this is bad to hurt animals, it's bad to hurt a kid or anybody. I think I'm trying to say that I think the people start to, kids and everybody start to wake up and go, wow, this, there's when I do good things come back to me. And I've noticed people have learned some of that as I grew. They've yeah. learned that. If I'm mean and evil and, you know, doing things, I seem to have weird things happen to me.
mm-hmm.
It's like, again, I've known people in the 70s that had, I can't think of the teachers of the time, but back in some other countries, back in the 1920s, and one of these people said to me one time, we were in our 20s at the time, she was walking along and she banged her knee bad or something or did something really bad. And she goes, ah, dang, I just punished myself for some reason. I must have did something a long time ago. and I said, wow, that's kind of interesting you said that. I said, well, let me just say that. And she goes, well, we figure that if I stub my toe or I bang my knee or I hurt my arm or I fall down and hit my head or something like that, that I'm paying back something I must have done when I wasn't paying attention here. And it might be a thing that's a little mini karma thing from another time, another place, where maybe I hit someone on the head or mm-hmm. kick someone in the knee or, you know, cause someone to fall off the horse, you know,
well,
whatever it could be. And I said, okay.
The beautiful idea there is that she wasn't expressing as a victim.
Yeah, she goes, ah, dang,
and that's really it again,
or that happened.
You can eliminate victimhood by just going, okay, you know, I'm living this existence, and whatever's happening was already engineered into my program before I ever got here, which is a whole other line of thinking.
That we don't want to make people go and stub their toes to get rid of karma. Don't do that. No, don't go kicking things to stop it. I'm kicking this to get my karma. No. Or I'm falling on my butt.
It would be better to just be nice to other people. That'll
yes.
help with
yeah. But I thought that was an interesting thing she said, as she, instead of getting mad and screaming, going, ah, my knee or my foot or whatever, she goes, dang, don't act. It must have passed off something there and just went away in the past, and I just found that fascinating.
Was she from India?
No, but one of these teachers she had read about mentioned something like that, and I don't know his name right now, but it's somebody people have heard of, like Gurdjieff or something like that. Somebody like Gurdjieff, I think. But it was saying something that you're fixing karma when you're going through some weird things that happen to you out of nowhere, like walking along, stubbing your foot, but you didn't expect to do it, or
mm-hmm.
Something else. Or, hey, what would it mean if a Bigfoot throws a rock at us or a stone? Karma is that. I was telling people about Bigfoot the other day on the street. They loved it. When they started throwing pebbles, they want you to get out of the area. And then you start bigger stones, come little pebbles, and now little tiny rocks, and you're not getting out of the area, and they keep tossing rocks at you. They're not hitting you, but they're throwing them all around you. And then my friend says, well, what happens next? Do they throw a big rock at us? And they start maybe rolling a tree coming down the hill. They did that to lumberjacks in the West. The big tree that's been felled, that they can make these things happen, too. They can take a tree down. But if it's a fallen tree, they'll kick the tree and move it and start walking down the hill and chase you off the roads or whatever. But I love Bigfoot. I know they're telepathic. But I don't want people to get worrying about, my higher self is a Bigfoot. But
not likely.
Not likely. But it'd be fun if they took on the form. That's a joke.
Well, there are certain elementals that incarnate in the human life stream for a variety of reasons. I met many such in my sojourn in this lifetime, people who were what we call elves or the fae or gnomes and dragons. So they're maybe not their higher self, but their oversoul might be something not quite human, and they're here for a particular reason.
Well, I know there's a group from Ireland, ancient times. I mean, Ireland today, but ancient times, way back.
Uh-huh.
Mu and beyond, beyond. Where there's a group of people, they're etheric, and they called themselves the Fae. They were the original Fae, and they look human like us. Maybe they had a little different ear look, but they're the ones that people were seeing in the woods that would be this nymphs, let's say. I'll say that, but they're, people today still meet them, and they were the ones that they say would switch the baby sometimes because they wanted a human to take care of their child, and they would leave a Fae baby on their doorstep for some reason to get the get that going. So they were not nature spirits because they are a different being, nature spirits, than a Fae. And I get this information from my elves as well, but they tell me all the time. They said, "Well, we don't go to be humans. We're not of that energy. So humans or human-like people, including the Fae types." But they're another dimensional people who can. And see, that's where I think all these mermaid stories came up with, comes on out of the shore and suddenly he's a human and can go have a relationship with a guy or a girl, and then they go back to the water. I think that was part of their myth of sorts, where they actually had real encounters with a fae who can dematerialize and move through the woods and go to the next frequency where they come from. But originally they were on our frequency thousands of years ago. And so the people in the old country met with them, and that's when the old stories and myths came where they said, well, watch out, be careful, he might be a fae, or she, and they would say there were certain characteristics they had. And I'm getting all this from my fairies right now and my angel. And I remembered hearing about something like that, but they said they had certain characteristics that the people of the old times way back recognized, that they were not totally like us, but they could fit in like us with their blondie blonde or whatever color hair they had. They had any color hair. But there were some things that they did. They were aware. They were telepathic. They had different things they could do. And some of them had mystical experience powers around people, which means they just had certain elevated powers because they were of that group. And some of the Fae are remnants of the Lemurian races that were there in ancient times as well. So like a lot of some of the Native Americans we know as Algonquin with the blue eyes, some of those people are remnants of some of the original Atlanteans that were rescued and saved and moved to different areas. And I know this for a fact. So I just didn't know. I know this from the other side where I work with them. And we rescued Atlanteans from Atlantis, and they had dark skin, dark hair, and blue eyes, some of them, and brown eyes. So some of the Algonquins or native tribes sometimes have blue-eyed kids, and they would go, oh, that's weird. No, it's from their ancient time in their family blood still. And they're very much to nature, you know, loving and caring people. And the native tribes I've worked with from space. We worked when we were here as Aetherians. And I meant to say that, for Phyllis always tells me, you got to say what that means. Aetherian is a frequency that the people are here with us, but they're invisible to us. They can come in and out of frequency if they know how to do that or trained for it. So they got those grays or different beings. They're not Aetherians. Those are physical people. But they learned how to go into the next dimensional space to disappear from our reality zone here, but they're still over there, and they pop in and out. The Aetherians are low Aetherian, which is those who work within our physical density plane here, first plane, and they can be on different vibrational frequencies where they can appear and disappear from our watching them. Their lower density means they're physical, like us, have a body, have children, can eat, go to sleep, maybe different ways of doing that with timing, but they are physical like us on that dimensional space where they can be like. These are Aetherian, meaning ether, people of another ether. That's all it means, it's Aetherian. And so all the frequencies, as you know, are ethers, as we call them in space and everywhere else, but they call the Aetherian meaning a low. Then we get, and that just means dimensional spacing. We're on the first plane. So they're saying, well, we work within the first plane levels as Aetherians. And that's a lot of space people out there, too. But as you get higher in the frequencies on our first plane level of Aetherian, you can now get become mid, into a mid-etheric zone, where you're not needing to have children, don't care about eating that much food. You don't even, your physical form is becoming more perfected in a sense where you don't need things to sleep, to eat, to drink as much. You could take a little bit of water, you could take a little bit of food, and it'll acclimate to the body. And sleeping time is less. Now, when we get to the higher frequency, now we're getting to...
We're still talking second, first level.
First plane. Yeah. And
but you're talking the varying... we're going to speak about this tomorrow as well, because every single plane has multiple frequencies.
And each one is Aetherian, and then etheric structures. And if you're not physically on this planet, living here as a human right now, you can be on Mars or another planet system and be an Aetherian on the first plane levels and visit our planet as an ET or as somebody else. A high Aetherian, we have mid, and they are some of the ones you would consider and feel to be people that are like teachers or masters coming through.
And what are their
on those
average
realms.
Lifespans? What are the average mid lifespans?
Well, for a regular low Aetherian type, so like, I don't even want to say low, but because it just means first plane. It means we're in this same densities here. They can live 800 Earth years in time or thought, because if they're from someplace else. But that they've always told me, think of it in your time, because it's if my star system is different. But if it's your time thought, 800 to 1,000 years, some 500 Earth years, or sometimes three. And then they transition. Not like death, but they dematerialize and move on.
On that thought, we're going to have to wrap up. We only have a few more minutes left.
Yeah.
The hour's doing by fast. I'm planning a lot of specials, and I plan on including you guys. I sent out an email with all the different shows we have now, the ones that are coming in the near future, and I have lists beyond that. So I'll send you those as well. I think each of these topics that you bring up deserves a show of its own, and I can't wait till your books come out.
Thank you.
You say that now.
Thank you, Hercules.
Well,
we love you,
Hercules.
Yeah,
well,
I love you.
You are actually Hercules, so people, he is Hercules.
He is the real Hercules. He is the actual being.
He didn't just take the name for entry.
No. Hey, Hercules, I never asked you that. Was this the name you were given at birth?
My name that I was giving at birth translates into it. It's the modern
Isn't
Hercules
that great?
From the Greek Heracles, and that's dedicated to the Queen of Heaven. And my modern Greek name translates into dedicated to the Queen of Heaven. So there's a translation there. And my last given name also translates into Invictus. Indirectly. So I had my name since birth, but it was like a more modern version of it.
Oh my gosh, I love it. See how things are meant to be, and you chose to come through as your over part chose to come in and do this and come through and say, this is the signs we were going to give ourselves now. And to wake you up, you know, like when you were a kid, you woke up to it. Yeah, out-of-body experiences and everything. Yeah.
And how can people reach you? I wish we could broadcast your meeting tomorrow. It promises to be fantastic. But we have 90 seconds, as I just informed.
Okay, Hercules, we're... Well, you know, intergalacticmission.com. You can... all the links have our email to recognize us by markbringerhoff@yahoo.com. That's it. We have ET Universal Zone. com, where you can find our podcast with Hercules and other interviews and messages and different things.
And markbrinkerhoff.com, which is the art site.
Art site, yeah.
So if you know how to spell Brinkerhoff, you can. But, you know, actually, when you go to Facebook, all the links are very, they're very good there.
Yeah, Mark Brinkerhoff at Facebook with the UFOs around me. Thank you, Hercules. Thank
you so much. You guys are awesome. Love you a lot. Thank you for all the work that you do for all incarnated souls. And I look forward to our conversations continuing. And I wish you success in all your current ventures, creative and speaking and art and photos and everything you do.
And blessings to you, too. And all that you said. Right back to you and all your family.
Thank you very much. And thanks for joining us. Whether you called in and you're in our queue, whether you clicked on a link and found yourself here, or whether you'll be checking us out later on demand. Until next time, the This is us wishing you joyous journeys and amazing adventures. Take care, everybody, and thanks again.
Bye-bye. Take care. God bless.
Bye-bye. You too.
Love you.